Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody!
Hey everybody!
Hello!
Hello!
Yeah! Good start. My name's David Bell.
And I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Aladdin. Aladdin!
Aladdin!
You stumbled upon an opportunity. I can make you rich. Rich enough to impress a princess.
What would I have to do?
There's a cave of wonders. Bring me the lamp.
God damn. God damn, we're pumping you up.
Oh, man.
We're
so
pumping you right
psyched.
Up.
Are you guys psyched? Are you guys psyched for Aladdin?
Are you
psyched ready to go?
For Aladdin?
Are you ready to fucking go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
Aladdin.
Right.
Aladdin.
So, Tom, what did you think of Aladdin?
It is completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it more than I expected to.
Yep. I'm scared this is going to be a short episode because that's pretty much my thoughts. Like I said this, I think, about Beauty and the Beast. I don't know. I don't think we were doing the show with Beauty and the Beast, but
we weren't. Yeah.
It's like, to a degree, of course it's going to be good because it's Aladdin. Mm-hmm. Like, and Aladdin is good. It's my something from my childhood. The anger with Disney on these remakes is beyond the individual movies because they're never bad. That said, there is some charm. Like, I've always said, like, these should be just considered like remasters and launched. Like, Disney Plus should have these because there is something charming in the idea of like, oh, let's have Guy Ritchie remake Aladdin. It's just like, yeah, I kind of want to see that. Fuck it. Like, that's...
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I do want to step in and say that the Beauty and the Beast remake is garbage. Like, it's an objectively bad movie.
Yeah, that's... Some are better than others. Like, Jungle Book is very good.
Jungle Book is excellent.
Yeah, this...
Jungle Book's also not, like, a direct remake.
Yes.
It's, like, the same basic story, but they add a lot of stuff, and it's, like, they have... It's more like it has homages to the original film. Like, I don't consider Jungle Book to be in the same category
right,
as these Beauty and the Beast,
Aladdin,
Lion King movies.
It's not like a remake. It's not a...
No.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like a new adaptation that has elements from the original cartoon.
Yeah. Well, this does have two new songs.
It does, yeah.
Has a couple of added stuff. I'm going to say this movie, I had fun watching it. It's well made. Writing-wise, I found it a little awkward in places. The changes they made. The beginning, I felt, was completely rushed. The Cave of Wonders sequence that happens... You know, y'all know the original Aladdin.
They switch around the opening. Like, the original Aladdin opens with Jafar and some jackass thief in the desert.
Yes.
At the Cave of Wonders. This one opens with Aladdin... saving Jasmine in the market. Like, it's very abrupt.
Well, that's the thing, is it starts with Will Smith on a boat. And if you've seen Aladdin, I mean, I know this is for kids who probably don't know, but I was just like, oh, this is him freed when Aladdin frees him. That's cool.
Maybe. I wasn't quite sure.
Oh,
like,
the moment he gets romantically involved with that woman, which, well, that's a whole other thing. But
Nassim Pedrad from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, well, the moment that happened, I was like, oh, and she must be on the boat with them, and they have kids.
Yeah, I didn't connect it, because, like, in the original cartoon, the movie actually starts with the Arabian Nights song sung by this traveling merchant who's talking directly to the audience, and he's voiced by Robin Williams.
Yes.
So when I saw this, I couldn't decide whether this was supposed to be the genie or was just supposed to be some storyteller character
that's
played by the same actor, because that's what they did in the original movie.
Right. This brought something up in the original where it's the original reveal was that the storyteller is the genie in the cartoon, which this did that, but smarter, where it's like, yeah, it's the genie, but freed, because he got freed. Like, it makes sense. And he shouldn't have powers when he's freed. And this is a whole other discussion, because I realized there's a reason you don't set a genie free in the cartoon, is they still get all the same powers. So it's like, you don't want one of those running around doing whatever they want. Mm-hmm. But if they're like, if they get their powers taken away and they're freed, then it's like, that's a good deal. Like, they're not
a
god.
He becomes human at the end of this.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. What struck me about this opening is that, like, besides the opening scene, the credits themselves felt rushed, because this movie is long. It's over 2 hours, and yet and it somehow felt rushed at first, because the opening scene with the Cave of Wonders from the cartoon is like just in the credits. Over the song, and like the credits are just like the original Arabian Nights part. It's just like this long sequence in a desert, you know?
Yeah.
This one, it felt like they were like zooming through the marketplace and into
they were going through Agrabah.
Yeah, and then they show the Cave of Wonders, and they show that real quick, and it's just like, okay, I guess we're getting that scene out of the way.
Yeah, I don't know, because the song is extended. Like, the song is actually longer
than
this movie.
Right, the pacing felt weird right away, because it was just like, isn't that... Like, they took something that was a scene in the movie, and they just, like, yada-yada it. And like, yeah, you know, Jafar is looking for the diamond in the rough. And then, yeah, they merge... what's it called? One Jump... with him meeting Jasmine, which wasn't a bad idea, but right away I was like, are they trying to condense the story for time, because this is longer than Aladdin.
Because they add a whole new character and a bigger, the genie has a bigger part, like they wanted to expand other areas of the movie, so they sort of kind of truncated the beginning.
Yeah, I think they didn't need to expand certain things. I do like a lot of the changes. I think the biggest thing they didn't need to expand is some of the, like, the action, like the giant Iago. I think the ending of the original Aladdin was plenty action packed.
I was sort of waiting for Jafar to turn into a giant snake, and was a little bummed when he didn't.
Yeah.
He does turn into a pretty bitchin' genie, though.
Yes, he does.
Well, that genie's intense.
Yeah. What'd you think of... What are some of the changes? What did you think of the changes in this?
I liked how they expanded the... Weirdly, I liked Will Smith as the genie, and I sort of liked that they gave him a bigger part.
Biggest shocker is I really liked Will Smith as the genie.
He goes for it in a way that I didn't expect. Like, he's obvious, because Will Smith, you know, he has the can be a good actor, you know, like he has a couple of Oscar noms, and then, but like in a movie like this, you would just expect him to be Will Smith.
Yeah.
And he is to a degree, but he also, like...
Well, the way Robin Williams was Robin Williams to a degree in the original.
Right. Right, but he goes for this more like broad, flamboyant version of himself to lean into playing the genie, and it's not something I've ever seen him do.
Yeah, also, when he gets freed, spoilers, his reaction to it is effective.
Genuine. Yeah,
it's very good. He didn't need to act that hard, but he does.
But he did.
Yeah. No, I think that's what it comes down to with these Disney things. And why, like, out of principle, I don't like them, but individually, it's kind of the effort that matters. And I don't want to imply that people aren't trying in the worst ones, but, like, this one, it felt like they were trying to do something, and they were trying to, like, the things they extended, I got why they extended it. Specifically, the extension of the character of Jasmine.
She becomes Sultan!
Yes, this was, I think, because I think there's going to be people being like, oh, this SJW message shoehorned in,
crap.
Well, but the thing was, is that this was a natural extension of her character in the cartoon. Mm-hmm. That's what made it good, is that in the cartoon, they just have her be like I want to get out of this place. I want to see the world. And they augment that a little bit to have her be like, no, I want to rule. Like, I want to see my kingdom. I have ideas for it. And it fixes a lot of the ideas of, like the ending of being like, the sultan has to be like, you know what? You are a prince. In this, they're like, you know what? You're a sultan, and you can make the fucking rules, Jasmine.
Yeah. And I actually really liked that change.
I did, too. And I liked the suitor stuff where they're like, you have to marry a prince so we can have people in charge. And, like, it's, again, a natural progression of her not liking the princes, but also being like, and why can't I just be in charge?
Right. Like, why do I have to marry some clown?
And it fits into the, these are the rules. You must marry a prince. Like, it all fits into that.
It does. Can we stop for a second and talk about Billy Magnuson as the doofy prince that comes to Trapcore?
Oh, yeah.
He's a tangential friend of the pod. He's friends with Drew, who's been a guest a few times, and I work with her at Collider.
Word.
He's only in two scenes, but he's fucking hilarious in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Game Night, and he's on Maniac. He's Jonah Hill's dickhead older brother.
Oh, okay.
He was in the USS Callister episode of Black Mirror. He's always really great.
Yeah.
And even though he's like, he's only in this movie for two scenes, but he's really fucking funny.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you go to Collider and check out, I got to do press junkets for this movie. When I was talking to Naomi Scott, who plays Jasmine, she talks about a deleted scene that was with Billy Magnuson as this doofy prince. Where?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very. It was pretty funny the way she described it. Was a scene where he's like presenting her with a gift that's clearly a cannon. It has like a sheet over it, but it's like obviously a cannon, and he's trying to get her to guess what it is.
Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah, it sounded pretty funny. You can watch that shit on Collider.
On a similar subject.
Also, if you
subject,
follow me on Twitter, I've shared it.
Right.
Go ahead.
A similar subject. A part that made me laugh a lot was when Aladdin is presenting his gifts.
Yep.
The jam.
That was a legitimately funny sequence.
Yes. Like, that wasn't just cute. It was fucking funny.
I was lukewarm
funny
to the film, kind of, leading up to that. I did really like the Cave of Wonders sequence. I was surprised at how much I liked Friend Like Me, because they added in that dancing where he's fucking dancing like a maniac.
I definitely would want to talk about that, because the genie effects in this, they did a great job with, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's surreal. It's like Doctor Strange shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, right, when they got to the scene where he's presenting Prince Ali to the Sultan and Jasmine, and he's going through his gifts, that scene is legitimately funny.
Yeah. Will Smith has always been funny.
Yeah, he's great.
And so it's nice when we get to see him. Yeah. And the weird, he keeps talking about jams at her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like unveil a thing, and he's like, we have that thing. Like, he doesn't know what it is.
No, he has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah. And when the genie's just like, where I live, it's like dark and cold, but I'd rather be there right now than here.
I'd rather be there right now.
And there's just so many moments like that where he's like, in a thousand years, I've never been more embarrassed.
Right. It's the most embarrassed I've ever been. Yeah. And he keeps like embellishing all the exotic jams he has. And then Will Smith, he like clenched teeth, is like, move away from the jams.
The jams was a delightful joke. A delightful joke.
It's so dumb. Like, he's so bad at being a prince.
Yeah. And that's one of those things. Because I will say, again, like, the cartoon is, it's the cartoon, you guys. It's fucking great. It's what we grew up with. It's the best, you know, version of Aladdin. But this movie takes the opportunity to kind of add things that I never thought about from the cartoon. And one being, when he shows up as the prince, he is awkward in the cartoon. And they just sort of extend that and, like, make it more.
Right, he's a bus accident in this movie.
Yeah.
He's so bad as a prince. He has no idea what he's doing.
It's a great, like, they knew for the most part where to add.
Which is I mentioned earlier, I think this is far superior to Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast expanded all these weird, stupid angles.
Stuff that is just like, why do I need to see this?
Yeah.
No, this, like I said, the only thing that I was like, you could have gone with the normal, like the movie version or the cartoon version, is kind of the ending, where it felt like there was a few moments of action that was like,
Yeah.
Giant Snake would have been fine, keeping it a little tighter in places. Like that big magic carpet chase. It didn't bug me that much.
I didn't hate the magic carpet chase because there's a game to it. They're trying to get the lamp.
Yeah. No,
and the lamp keeps changing hands. It's not
bad. I guess I mean more narratively, it felt clunkier in those places.
Yeah,
they tried
it felt,
to tighten up
weird.
Certain things. Like, I liked that Aladdin's captured, and then he just takes him to the Cave of Wonders, and it's like, I get that. Like, I get it. Is that we don't need to
dress
see...
up like the old man. Like, why does he do that in the first place?
Yeah,
like if he was planning on murdering him, he should have just been Jafar.
Yeah, exactly. They tighten some stuff up that need tightening. Little things when they throw them in the water, they do it from the palace because they put the palace next to the water.
It's a cool sequence too.
It is, and it's like that's a little change where it's just like, we don't have to like drag him out to the water. Let's have him do it from here. Like there's little adjustments like that along the way. I also realized that we all loved Gilbert Gottfried as Iago, but Iago is the only like cartoonishly talking animal in Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made sense in this. They just make it a parrot.
Right. It's
a smart parrot.
Yeah.
It's still a talking parrot.
He's voiced by Alan Tudyk, but he does it in just like says things like that, but he's not repeating things. Like he's actually delivering dialogue, but for some reason, dressing it up like a parrot talking made it seem less jarring.
Yes. It would
I thought
be jarring
Iago
if you
was great. Like, I thought they handled it really well.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you lived with that parrot, eventually you'd be like, okay, there's something wrong with that parrot.
Yeah. He gets a couple of good laughs, too. Like, when the guy's like, well, when he's talking to the guy in the dungeon, he's like, well, you're second only. It's like, well, you are second only to the Sultan. And you hear Iago go, like, uh-oh. You're in trouble. Like,
that was also, I thought that was also pretty smart. I mean, Jafar in the cartoon, he's an understandable enough villain, but by stressing the second most, they set up the genie thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the end.
And they, yeah, for sure. It plays into why he would stupidly wish to be a genie. And also they gave him kind of a cool backstory of how he was also a street thief, like a pickpocket.
I liked that, yeah.
He fucking lifts the lamp from Aladdin.
Yeah, I liked that it was like, we're not so different, you and I, like that sort of cliche, but it like fit for Jafar and Aladdin because he's like he's just like, yeah, I was like you and I learned you have to like take power and like again, his obsession with power, it all fit more into his downfall. Not that fucking the cartoon Jafar was much different. They just like give him a little more, like he wants to go to war. He has, you know, he has more of a motivation in this, in that regard.
Yeah, you get a little more of his pathology in this. And it's, you know, partially due by virtue of just it's longer.
Yes.
Like the animated movie is like 70 minutes.
Yeah. yeah. I would argue again that, you know, as we talk about this movie, you can't really compare, at least in my eyes, to the original.
Right. The original is damn near a perfect film.
Yeah, it's the perfect version of this. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with this for having that going against it. You know, like it's like seeing a remake of Jaws and being like, that actually wasn't too bad.
Oh, that was not that bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we still shouldn't have remade Jaws, but like for that, under those conditions, this is pretty good.
It didn't King Kong itself.
Right, and maybe this is because, at least our generation, Aladdin was a big deal. So I think...
For sure.
If you're younger or older, you might not give... Like, The Jungle Book is one of those cases where I kind of did grow up on The Jungle Book, but it technically wasn't my generation. You know, it was people showing me it as a kid.
It was already there, yeah.
Yeah.
You Whereas didn't get Aladdin, the hype of, like,
yeah,
well,
I
all,
remember
the,
seeing
all the
it
Disney
in theaters.
Renaissance. Yeah, for sure. Like, I remember Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The Lion King. Like, all of the Disney Renaissance, I was there for, like, the hype of it coming out. Yeah. So it's, like, it's more imprinted on me.
I think that's part of, at least for our generation, something that I never can get over watching these is, like, when they brought out the original songs, I thought, like, these are really good. And when the original thing happened, I thought, like, this is really good. I wish it was applied to an original story. And it's not like Disney isn't doing that. Like, but they don't do it as often. Like Frozen was the last one, wasn't it? Like it feels like they haven't been doing it for a while. I feel like they've been focusing
on
these.
I mean, we just did a best bad movie on Tomorrowland. That's a pretty original idea.
Oh, I guess I mean the Disney cartoons.
The animated movies?
Fairy tale, like animated, like Disney Renaissance, like that style. Like they have Frozen was the last one where it was like original songs. Like
gosh,
full-on
there has
Disney
to have been
cartoon.
Another one. That's been a while since Frozen.
I know. This is why I'm disturbed. This is why I'm depressed. Because I think what depresses me is it's not like when they do that, it fails. Frozen was a success. Mm-hmm. And I know they're making a sequel, because of course they are.
Yeah.
But like they should keep doing that. They're good at it. And so putting all their efforts into these live action remakes, they're not, again, I feel like this should be on Disney Plus. Like, I feel like these should be like side movies. Obviously they're making too much money to do that.
Some of them are. The Lady and the Tramp one is for Disney Plus.
And I think they should all just be these side things where it's like, oh, by the way, we're making these little fun live action things. Instead, these are like big event films, and that bums me out, because it's not like they can't make good original stuff.
There you go. Yeah, Moana's
Moana
excellent.
Was Disney, right?
Tangled. That was before Frozen.
That was
Tangled's
before
really
Frozen.
Good.
I think Moana might be the last one.
I think you're right.
I don't know.
You guys are probably screaming at us right now listening to this. There's probably an obvious one that we're forgetting.
Yeah, but it's like, again, this movie, it's fine that it exists, but like, man, it makes me like it makes me nostalgic for the cartoons, which then makes me say, well, why can't they make more things like Lilo and Stitch? Things like, I mean, Lilo and Stitch was like a decade ago at this point.
More than
it just, it's not like it fails when they do it. So why not
do that
more? Yeah. Yeah, but it's like anything else. Like they're just playing it so safe with these, and the fact that they're so focused on them with their Disney side properties. It's just like, it feels like Disney has lost what made people love Disney, right? As a brand, not as a corporate like ruler. Like I mean, like Disney movies, cartoons, kids movies.
I don't know. Moana wasn't that long ago, and these are their tentpole movies, right? Like these are the ones that they put out where they're like, well, we'll make a bunch of money off of this and it'll fund these other things.
Right. They're just not making the other things enough for my taste, I guess.
For sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, we've already had Captain Marvel, Avengers Endgame, Aladdin, and we're going to have Lion King later in the summer. Like, we have a lot of these Disney tentpole movies this year.
And again, I'm not counting Marvel. I'm counting, like, because I think about when I was a kid and like Disney movies, like the cartoons.
Right,
that
the
are
Disney
sappy.
Movie of the year was a huge deal.
And it just feels like now that's just a movie that I've already watched.
Mm.
It's like there was an Onion article, we're running out of retro, where it was like, our retro resources are depleted because we're catching up to ourselves and we're going to fold over on ourselves. It feels like that, where it's like, Disney, you're going to run out of movies to do live action remakes of. And then you're going to be like, oh, we forgot to make original movies. Shit. All right, let's just go back and do Cinderella again. I guess my point is this was a fun movie to watch. And bittersweet because it felt unnecessary.
Yeah. It's totally unnecessary, but the
everybody does a great job. It's a great
the craft of this film is pretty impressive. The only sequence I was sort of bummed about was the whole new world sequence.
It was
because
short.
And they don't see anything. Like they just kind of cruise around Agrabah. Like
okay,
in the original
they go to
Egypt, they see like they see a bunch of different sites around, I mean, close to Agrabah, but in this movie they stay pretty much in the city, and it's kind of dark and you can't really see. Like the original sequence was so full of color and like it was very clearly an inferior version of the sequence.
And I mean that's one of the things I've seen people arguing on Twitter is like, you can't make these live action because the animations are so beautiful in general. Mm-hmm. That, like, making it live action almost misses the point of why it was animated to begin with.
You definitely lose something.
Yes, you lose a lot, I think. CGI does not... CGI mm-hmm. can be good looking, but it's just being photorealistic. And so right.
You don't have the same artistry, you don't have the same colors, because yeah. a photorealistic Abu kind of doesn't look great.
Right, like, it's losing an element of art, where yes. it's like anybody can take a camera and make beautiful piece of art by filming mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
And I think I was talking about this with a few, I mean, this is a general thing, but with mm-hmm. movies like this, where it's like, I feel like you shot most of this on a green screen or like a limited set with a green screen around it. And you can just control every element in the lighting and you're just making it photo real.
Yeah. I do want to point out that they actually did build an entire Agrabah set in Jordan, I think.
Yeah, actually that looked real. But like, I guess what I'm getting at is that it just, yeah, it misses the artistic side of it when it's just
for
like,
sure.
yeah, this is what it looks like when they're flying around on a magic carpet.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah,
yeah. That sequence is very, it's not great. Like, you can't replicate that sequence with two actors sitting on a green,
yes.
fucking, I don't know, a green yeah. mattress.
yeah.
it just doesn't, yeah.
The original was a very intimate, touching yeah. moment.
And they fucking see a lot of shit. Like, it's yeah. like, it's the same, like, I think The Lion King looks like assy ass because I don't, like, the photorealistic animals don't look good. Like, part of what makes The Lion King look so good is these colors and the animation,
the first shot of The Lion King, that sunrise of this big, beautiful mm-hmm. animated sun, and then the new trailer where they show it, and I'm just like, yeah, that's what a sunrise looks like in real life.
Yeah, thanks,
this
man.
Isn't yeah it's just like doing a photorealistic version of an more abstract animated version is you're taking away the art. It's like
right. It's automatically less impressive.
Yeah, it's like things like not that people care, but like the Aeon Flux movie was like, Aeon Flux was such a dynamically animated thing that then they're just like, now here's people doing it, and it's like, yeah, I don't want to watch that.
I don't want this. Yeah. yeah.
There was a reason I liked the other thing and not this yeah. thing.
Now, that said, we mentioned it earlier, I actually did really like the Friend Like Me sequence
well,
in the
because,
Cave of Wonders.
Yes. All right. Well, hold on. Just a final thought on A Whole New World. What I did like is that they ended up back where they started and they're just watching their people, because that I thought was a good, again, it's that Jasmine wants, like,
it's
I get
more
why
for
they
her character, yeah.
yeah they were staying local almost because she just wanted to see her city and her people, but I definitely
yeah.
I think that would have been better if he showed her all around the world and she was like, I want to just go back home.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Never Had a Friend Like Me, again, because it's like the Doctor Strange thing, they like did some really cool freaky ass effects. They had a
yeah.
lot of fun with that.
The arrangement, the new arrangement of the song, because obviously right. Will Smith is not going to perform it the same way Robin Williams did.
Right. It was good. His
it's
not
good.
Knowing Aladdin's name.
That was a good bit to add.
That was a
yeah.
really good bit to add.
Yeah.
I think what makes the difference between that and A Whole New World, because I think a few of the musical numbers were fine. I liked Guy Ritchie was pretty straightforward the way he shot this movie. He kind of stayed
yeah.
out of it.
Yeah, he does a lot of the songs, particularly both Jasmine's song and then the reprisal of it later are mostly a single shot.
Yes, because that's the point. Because it reminded me of an old musical where it's just like, mm-hmm. yeah, just shoot them, just film the person. I'm not here to jerk off and be like, look how good of a filmmaker I am.
Yeah,
it's more like I'm here to just show you the thing that's the song, the performance.
Yeah,
when there's people dancing, it's like, let's just show them dancing.
Yes, the dance, like this is the first sequence where we see dancing in the film, and like they do that thing where the genie, I believe it's in the cartoon as well, where the genie's sort of playing Aladdin like a marionette.
Yeah,
and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
and like, well, and okay. I saw that sequence. I was like, oh shit! And like, so there's like,
and that's the thing.
And then the rest of the movie, there's more dancing like that. It's awesome.
Yeah. And the other scenes are less abstract. I think they knew that they could go crazy with that sequence because it's supposed to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Yeah, the later songs and stuff, it's more focused on just them performing. I think what it is that the everything else is like a whole new world. It's like we're just showing a thing that's happening that's very photorealistic. Yeah. Never Had a Friend Like Me, what made it so entertaining is that they knew they could actually bring out the art in the CG.
Yes.
Like they could start, they could actually do something creative and artistic with
it. Because the genie's not supposed to be photorealistic.
Exactly. Like the genie and does, the sequence
isn't supposed to look real.
Yeah, the sequence is... Because as we know, Aladdin has died. He's hit his head on a rock and this is his hallucination.
Yes.
And so it doesn't need to be real. No, and that I loved like when he like he holds the restaurant and like it comes close to the camera and then Aladdin's in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And like stuff like that was really cool. Like it was, that was a hell of a sequence.
Yeah, it was great.
All the genie effects, I think, were really well done.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think partially because he does look kind of CG, but it didn't really matter in the context of this.
Right, because he's a genie.
Yeah, because he's a crazy, weird genie.
It's like a magic rapper.
Yeah. He did, his songs were fine. Arabian Nights, when that first started, I was like, I'm not sure about this, Will Smith. I don't know, man. We'll see.
I don't know about this, dude.
Yeah. I think this might have been a mistake, but then it was fine.
Yeah.
I expected this movie to be I came into this when I saw it this morning and I had a headache and I was like, oh great,
good.
That's what I
oh,
need
good.
Is a headache
yeah,
before
the
Aladdin.
Best way to see this movie, yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't. I enjoyed it. I liked the dance sequence at the end. Like that was one of those things where, like, it's hard. Like, again, I'm cynical and kind of angry about the overall system that's happening here, but the movie has a lot of joy in it to the point that even the ending has this like Bollywood style dance sequence.
Yes.
And it's just
very,
like, well, shit, this is a lot of fun.
It's very interesting that you say that. It's not gone up yet, but it will this by the time you guys are listening to this interview will go up. When I interviewed Guy Ritchie about it, he talks about the dance sequence at the end being one of the first things they film, and he's like, when you watch that sequence, it's sort of impossible to be cynical about it.
Yeah, because
it's just they're just dancing, it's great dancing, and it's just like they're performers having a blast, and it's like it's a good just from a filmmaking production standpoint, it looks good. It's just like, what?
Yeah. It's also, yeah. Like, I feel like more movies should do that, because I think that, like, it's almost like, hey, and it's a movie, you guys, like, that kind of ending.
Yeah.
Like, I'm reminded of a movie that I'm sure doesn't hold up called There's Something About Mary, doing that as well, a musical number at the end, and, like, or another movie that doesn't hold up well, 40-Year-Old Virgin, also doing a musical number at the end, and there's something about that that's very, like, Hollywood. That's like, let's finish with a big old musical number. That's just like classic Hollywood that I love. And it also just like with the like good guys, bad guys, everybody just dancing and being like, yeah, it's a fucking movie. We're having
fun.
I don't think
Jafar is there.
Is he not there?
I don't think the bad guys are there.
He could have been there. That would have been great.
He could have been and nobody would have cared. But
that's what I mean is like I like just like it doesn't have context really. It's just
sort
like
of,
it's all
they,
fucking
they give
dance.
You the context that it's like Aladdin and Jasmine's wedding.
Kinda. Right, but then they all just start fucking dancing and looking
right.
at the camera.
And looking
like
at the camera, so it doesn't matter. Yeah.
I always think the context of Disney songs, I think I've talked to you about this, is like they represent a specific moment. Like every love song in Disney, I believe, is actually just a sex scene. So like they're just going at it on that carpet.
Mm-hmm.
They're just grunting one out. Or like Entangled, like they're fucking in that boat. Like it's that's all those sequences really are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the other songs would be. I guess they're all just having sex whenever they sing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is canon.
Yeah, watch any musical now and just imagine that.
Yeah. Every single song is just them just aggressively fucking.
Yeah, and I'm sure that'll change a lot of things for you.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like the opening of Newsies would be a weird one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Man, I just disturbed myself.
No, that's probably fine.
Yeah. Let's see. What are the things in this?
I don't know. Yeah,
it's weird.
I think you're right at the top of the episode. I don't know that we're going to have that much to say about this.
Yeah. What'd you think of all the performances?
Obviously, I thought Will Smith was great.
Yeah, I thought they were all pretty good.
Yeah.
In fact, I shouldn't say pretty good. They were all good. Like, they were all. Yeah, I think people are going to miss the other versions. I would say Aladdin, he could have been a little sneakier, a little more like devious at first.
Well, he never was, though.
Yeah, I guess I remember being a little more like hand-wringing, like sneaky in the original.
He's a little more of a dick in the cartoon, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like a little, like when he gets to the Cave of Wonders, like he seemed like when he starts getting in this one mesmerized himself and Apu slaps him, that felt out of character because I didn't feel like he was that greedy yet.
I think the implication was that the treasure is mesmerizing. Yeah. There it was specifically the scene where he goes back on his promise to free the genie with his final wish. Like it's handled a little more like it's still like an emotional scene and you're still like, ah, fuck you. You're being a dick. But he's like somehow more of a dick in the animated version. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know if I needed that or not actually, because I did feel more frustrated in the animated version with Aladdin not telling her the truth, but maybe that's just because when I first saw it, I was a kid and I was just more invested and you know, it's the original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I know how everything's going to turn out. So, I feel like for the most part, they smoothed out a lot of the character stuff.
For
again,
sure,
Jafar
yeah.
and Jasmine yeah. Specifically.
And well, again, I mean, that's a virtue of having more time.
Yeah, exactly. No, this movie has a lot of advantages, a lot of things going for it. Like it's And again, that's the general problem with these movies is that they're never going to not be affected. Like even watching Beauty and the Beast, when she starts singing at the beginning, I felt emotional because I'm like, oh, right. This is the song I grew up with.
Yeah, like this is that amazing song that I loved.
Yeah. It doesn't matter the context of it. It's just like, yeah, this is always going to invoke an emotion in me because I grew up watching these fucking Disney movies. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to feel some level of excitement, I guess. So, like those other ones, like, well, not like those other ones, because I wouldn't recommend Beauty and the Beast. But I
no,
would,
that's a bad movie.
Yeah, I would recommend this to fans of Aladdin, because, like, why not? In terms of a kid, if you have a kid, like, and I'll say this about every Disney thing, first show them the original.
Yeah, for
because
sure.
That's you can get it cheaper.
And you probably
it's
yeah,
on
you
demand.
Probably will anyway because they've been on video for 100 years now.
Yeah, exactly.
However long.
Like this doesn't have to be. That said, a kid would probably really enjoy this movie.
Yeah,
the kids in the audience with me seem to. They got scared here and there. Mm. I mean, Jafar does kick a man down a hole like he's fucking.
He does.
Gerard Butler and shit.
Yeah, he fucking 300s that dude into a well.
It's fucked up.
Yeah, pretty intense.
Yeah, for a kid. The Cave of Wonders, I think, scared some of the kids in the audience.
The Cave of Wonders has always been intense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Okay. I don't want to offend whoever did the voice of the Cave of Wonders in this.
It's the same guy.
Is it the same guy?
It's Frank Welker, yeah.
Oh, it's Frank Welker. Mm-hmm. I think Frank Welker did better in the original then. I don't feel bad now saying that since it's the same guy.
The same guy, yeah.
I thought the inflection and the like you will never see the light of day when he's like screaming it in the original. Yeah. It's not as effective in this.
It's
Cave
not
of Wonders
as scary
is
in it, yeah.
Yeah, it's less scary. It's a less scary. I'm glad they still drowned Aladdin. I wasn't sure they were going to do that, but they did it.
They sure as shit do.
Yeah. It's still like a gentle drown.
He falls like 300 feet tied to a chair.
Yeah, his bones are broken. Yeah. No, it's a gentle, it's a, I'm going to go to sleep underwater drowning.
Yeah.
Which,
it's not a Kurt Russell and Poseidon drowning.
No, it's not. It's not. But that's, that is no different than the cartoon.
No. Yeah.
Again, little variations. Mm-hmm. They have him sign, the genie makes him sign a contract while he's asleep. Yeah. Asleep. While he's drowned.
Yes.
As opposed to nodding.
Yeah,
the original.
The technicality is a little bit different.
He you have to be
holding the lamp.
Yeah.
To make the wish, so that's how he gets out of the Cave of Wonders without spending a wish. He doesn't trick the genie into doing it. He's just not actually holding the lamp when
right,
he wishes for
yeah.
it.
He like pretends to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely made it their own. It's a tough thing because like, yeah, Robin Williams, man. Like,
and they set up the where he says earlier, where he's like, can you make me a prince? And he's like, well, there's a lot of gray area there. You have to be very specific. Like,
yeah.
He gives him kind of monkey's paw rules. So that later on, when Jafar doesn't wish to be an all-powerful genie in this one. He wishes to be the most powerful being in the world. And he's like, he should have been more specific.
Yeah, exactly.
But here you go.
Yeah, they make, yeah. They,
so
oh, that's
kind of
something.
Pay that off. Yeah.
We haven't talked about much. And it is, I will say it's the most unnecessary part of the movie. And mm-hmm. I didn't mind it. Still is the genie having a romantic subplot. They give him more of a motivation to betray Jafar that way. But what
kind,
did you...
Well, I mean, it just, it makes it...
What did you think of that?
I didn't mind it because I like Nassim Pedrad.
Yes.
I'm probably mispronouncing the shit out of her name,
that
and I apologize.
Is kind, I think that's why I'm saying it's unnecessary and I didn't mind it. Because the new character, like, it's that thing of, like, we don't need a new character. And I noticed when they were putting out the Prince Ali, like when they were putting out the trailer, the clip, mm-hmm. I noticed her in that and I was like, who the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
And she plays what? Her
handmaiden.
Handmaiden, that's what it's called. Yep. And so it's not necessary to add a new character, but she was very good.
Mm-hmm. It gives the genie more of an arc, and it kind of makes it when he has to grant Jafar's wishes, and he's like just looking
yeah,
at her
it.
And looking
yeah.
at Jasmine. It's like it's more painful for him.
Yeah, I think it was a good idea because I like the genie having like a little more loyalty to just people in general. That said, it felt very instantaneous. Like he was just like I like her, and she's like I like him, and they. They're just like immediately into each other. Like they didn't have time for that romance. So it felt rushed, but I get why it was there. And again, that actress was great. The character is good.
Yeah, she's
so
very funny.
She improved my experience. Like it's not, I wasn't like, oh, get out of this film.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt, it's a real weird thing to add.
Yeah. I understand why they did it though.
Yeah. Cause he doesn't have, you know, Tom, he doesn't have a dick.
Well,
he's got nothing
I mean,
down there.
As a human, he does.
He does, but like he's like a swirl. He's like a tornado down there.
He can make himself look like anything. So I don't.
Yeah,
I don't,
but he's
I
like
know.
A cloud. It's just weird that the genie gets, as he puts it, thirsty. he makes a reference.
He does.
It's just weird that the genie fucks. Like I get when he's a human, he could be like, oh my god, all these new feelings in my loins.
Well, he's been in
those
the
exact
cave.
Lines.
Yeah,
he would use.
I get it from. Yeah, like he's been in the Cave of Wonders for a long time, and they sort of like he's not immediately friends with Aladdin either. Like when they first get to the palace, when he makes him Prince Ali, and then they're in the party, he's like, I don't know. Like he's hemming and hawing, and the genie's like, look, you're not going to fuck this up for me. This is the first party I get to go to. And like,
I guess. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I like the social aspect. I like that he's like, look, I'm out. But it's more just the idea that the genie has any sort of sexual or emotional urges that disturbs me. Because it's like he's an all-powerful being. I don't want him to be like, thinking with his genitals. I don't want him to be thirsty. Like, that's
well,
weird.
I mean, he explicitly can't make people fall in love with him, so it's like...
No, it's just, it's, I don't know. It just
feels,
yeah,
I get what you're saying.
It feels below the genie to have like base human emotions.
Yeah. That's kind of what he wants.
Because he's not, he doesn't seem to be in love with her when he meets her. He's like, she's hot. Like, he's like, hey, check out that lady. It's just a weird thing for trait for the genie to have.
Yeah.
And again, I like that character. It was just that was kind of jarring.
Yeah, it's a built-in happy ending for when he becomes a human. It's like, oh, then he can marry her and have kids and sail around the world.
Right. Because
in the cartoon, the genie just fucks off.
Yeah, I liked that about the genie. I liked the idea that the moment he's like, you're free, he's like, okay, cool, see ya, man. Like, yeah. I don't actually care. I don't know you that well. I've been working for you. Like, I like that idea that the genie is just like, great, thanks. Now I don't have to be your friend. Yeah. like, thanks, man. I'm going to miss you, but I got things to do. I'm fucking free. And yeah. I have God powers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, for y'all, sure. I y'all can gonna, see that's a little.
Y'all going to cower before me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It was... I guess I like the idea of him settling down, getting a family and all that. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to see the quick romance that sets that up. I know why That's they fair. Did it.
Yeah, I know why they did it.
And again, I like the character. It's just... Mm-hmm. I didn't need that. I could have had that cut out.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
They could have trimmed it out.
Yeah,
but I mean, generally speaking, again, like as far as the challenge they had before them, they did very good. And most of the things they added, I really enjoyed.
I enjoyed, yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't opposed to any of it, really.
Yeah, I like to think of this as like, you know, people do stage productions of. You know,
for sure.
The same fucking Shakespeare plays over and over again, and they like to add things and stuff
like
that.
Well, there is a stage musical of many Disney films, this one included, where they add scenes and songs and such.
Exactly, and that's what it feels like. It's like this is a really good version of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fine version.
Yeah.
It doesn't harm the original, really. It's just...
No.
I mean, it is... There is just from a money-making production standpoint, this is a cynical thing to do.
Yeah, but the movie itself's got some heart. But it is still like, every time I hear about like Hunchback of Notre Dame and like shit like that, where it's like, I'm sure the people
Lion
who are
King.
Gonna make, yeah, and again, that's Jon Favreau, and like it's like, I'm sure the people making these things, they aren't sitting around being like, all right, let's just shit this one out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They care. So it's again, it's not the individual movies, it's the concept of them that really bumps me out. I know there was an interview recently with, I think, a Disney producer. There was someone who was like, yeah, I don't think we're going to do Pocahontas. And it's like, yeah,
no, that's a good idea.
I don't think you should do that.
I don't think you should do that one.
Yeah.
I don't think that one.
I don't think you should have done the first one.
No. Do Treasure Planet.
Yeah. Do Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet's kind
great.
Of fucking sweet if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, instead they're doing like Lilo and Stitch, and it's like, no.
Don't do that. I don't need a photorealistic Stitch.
Yeah, I don't need I'm sure it'll come out fine. But it doesn't really, we don't need it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't need this movie.
Exactly.
But it's fine.
Yeah, well, this is how it is with all this is the problem I have with the system is I watch these exactly once and I say that was good, and then I never watch it or think about it again. And I don't like, I know I'm not everybody, I'm aware of that fact, but no one really talks about them. And when they talk about Disney, they just go back to the classics, right? They just go back to the originals. Like, if you're gonna watch any of them, you would watch the cartoon version, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so it's again, like, it's all very unnecessary, but it's not hurting anything. Well, there's something that's been said about Disney as a company, and
yes. Yeah, Disney as a company
stuff.
Is hurting lots of things.
But artistically speaking, it's not hurting anything.
Right, just like as a Guy Ritchie movie, as a Will Smith movie, as a vehicle for these two newcomer actors, this is not a cynical film in the film itself. The idea
exactly.
of it is cynical, but the execution of it was not.
Yeah, exactly. And again, if someone was like, hey, you want to see Guy Ritchie do an Aladdin, I'd be like, yeah, sure.
Like, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what that'll be, but okay.
That's not a question I would ever thought I would be asked, but yeah, sort of.
Does Aladdin have a bare-knuckle boxing match?
Oh, man.
Does he punch out Jafar?
That would have been great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would have been fantastic.
So, yeah, I kind of... I don't know what else there is to say, but I feel like that's a sode.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's a sode.
We got a sode. We got a sode
out of this.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for listening, you guys. Listen,
let's talk about Aladdin.
We got a Patreon. If you guys want to, support us, if you haven't already, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We got exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Yeah, they sound exactly
what they advertise.
Yeah, we also have like Patreon Fridays, which we watch movies with our patrons, something we're literally about to do after recording this. And we have Twitch. We stream twitch.tv/gamefully_unemployed. We have all sorts of fucking fun.
Did you spit out that merch link? I can't remember.
No, I didn't.
I was in a fugue there for a second.
Why don't you do it?
tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where we got some sweet merch.
Sweet merch.
Check that out.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
Check it.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah.
And enjoy the rest of whatever kind of day you're having.
Yeah.
Do that.
Enjoy that shit.